Okay, so I want to focus on one pasuk, which I think understanding it, there's really many ways to understand it. I don't know if we pay attention to it enough, or the importance of it being in the Torah as well. So the beginning of Perek Lamed, the Torah tells us that Vatera Rachel ki lo yalad el Yaakov, Vatekane Rachel b'achota, Vatomer el Yaakov avalivanim vim ayin meita anochi. Rachel expresses her frustration in not having children, and she frames it as Vatekane Rachel b'achota. She is jealous, envious, outraged, different connotations, different places, etc. And says to Yaakov, give me children, if not, either I am dead or I will die. Different ways of rendering that part of the pasuk. Now, the
problem with her is the problem with Yitzchak.
Yeah, well, not Yitzchak, for sure, because she's married to Yaakov. but I know. But I figured you knew who you were talking about. Yes. Well, clearly with her. I mean, he has four children.
At this point, he's already...
He has four sons. That's why she's upset. Now, can you guess which word here bothers Mefarshim extensively? Or which... What?
Whatever. The dead.
Well, there's really two things, right? The second half of it bothers them, and the first half bothers them too, right? Vatikane. What bothers them is the jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask people to remember this pasuk, they'll say, and honestly, this is a chazal used in one place, that if you don't have children, you're kemes, right? It's one of the four people we remember from Agadah to last year. Is Elizabeth Mason. This is the proof that someone who's childless is kemes. The problem is, if that was true, what should the pasuk have said? No, she should have just said she didn't have children, so she said, I'm kemes.
Right.
Why is that dependent on jealousy?
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, if not having children is the problem, then it should not be that the right. implication is that it's because of the jealousy. And if it's because of the jealousy, what exactly is the problem?
Jealousy of that she doesn't have children is making her feel that lack of children more strongly. Right?
Good. So one possibility is just to say, no, really it's about the lack of children, but it's brought into sharp relief by, you know, as she watches Leah have more and more children, and it's not jealousy per se as much as, I don't know, that reminds her of her lack, something like that. Now, is this jealousy justified? But this is the problem of Farsha I'm really bothered with, right? Is that, first of all, it sounds like she really wants to have children, except the pasuk makes it clear that part of what's driving her is jealousy, and does that make this problematic?
Right.
So you have, you really have a divide in the Mefarshim. You have some who really think that, no, the, you know, I don't know, do you want me to start with the forgiving approaches, the non-forgiving approaches?
Forgiving.
Okay, we'll start with forgiving, because, look, certain trends obviously are going to read this in a very forgiving way and say, yeah, she's not really jealous. I mean, she is, but not in like a materialistic way. So like Rashi quotes from Midrashim that what really bothered her wasn't just that she didn't have children, was that she assumed that the world runs on schar v'onesh, reward and punishment, and therefore if Leah's having children, and she's not, it must be that Leah is a better person than her. Mm-hmm. And that was what bothered her. What kinah b'maaseh, that she looked and she said, "Ilulei shetzadak mimeni lo zachta levanim." Right? It wasn't just to have children. It was that it was her frustration about not having children was exacerbated by her conviction that she must not be a good person, or not as good a person as Leah. And that,
right?
But that's the kinah. She was right, she was jealous not of Leah's children, but of what that indicated about Leah. And now, what's the deal, Chazal? Or what drives Chazal's this read? That the kinah is bilei'ah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not the kinah of the children, which would have been what you expected from the second half of the pasuk, that she's jealous of the children Leah has, but that she's jealous of Leah, and they're reading that literally. Not they're jealous of what Leah has, she's jealous of Leah. Right? Not of Leah's children, but of Leah herself. And that's sort of one way you could you could take it. Now, there are others that, no, they say really she is jealous of the children. She really is jealous of the children. Now, you have to ask, okay, then why, but why only now? Or why only now is she expressed, like, if she really just wants children, then, you know.
Because now she knows that she's not, like, furthering the Jewish people.
Right, so, look, you have different ways. The Chizkuni takes it and says, it's not that she didn't begrudge. Really, the question is, right, the first one, did she begrudge Leah? Right, so Chizkuni said, it's not that she begrudged Leah for having children. The problem was that they knew B'nevuah, that there would be Yud Bet Shvatim, and therefore once Leah had the fourth, she was jealous because she realized that she wouldn't even have her own share. Meaning, and if I had to put the Chizkuni slightly differently, I would say, it wasn't that she begrudged Leah. What made this moment worse was that she realized at some level her infertility was forever. Meaning, even if she would have children, she would have less than she's supposed to. Right? And that's really, it's not that she is, right, it's, the kinnah is, right, this is a somewhat forgiving read. Meaning it's saying, look, it's not that she begrudged Leah having children. It's that until now she thought, okay, maybe Leah will have children, I'll have them later, but I'll still have three children, I'll have the family I believe. And suddenly she sees Leah as a fourth and she realizes, even if I ever have children, I'm not going to have the family I wanted, and maybe I'll never have any, because once Hashem isn't breaking up 12 into fours, right, into four sets of three, so then, right, and that is what drove her pain, was to realize that there is a permanence to this, right? Because you can imagine the panic at that point, right? I'm not going to have three, but maybe I'm not even going to have two. Maybe I'm not even going to have one, right? Once you see that Hashem isn't set on giving equal... Now that is... You know, Rashi is, let's say, the most forgiving, right? This is pretty forgiving as things go. It's saying... It's not kinna per se of Leah. She doesn't begrudge Leah.
Wants to be part of the nation.
Right. By seeing that Leah's four, it emphasizes how permanent her lack of children is going to be. Now, you have the other extreme, extremely not forgiving. You have the Ralbag, who says, no, this is just jealousy. And the lesson you learn from this story is that jealousy is bad. Right? That is what you learn from this story. The Ralbag... Right, you know, the Ralbag writes. He gives you his parish, and then he has what's called the Toaliyot, which is the lessons you're supposed to learn, which are very funny because sometimes they're moral and sometimes they're religious and sometimes like they're pragmatic. Right, they're like, you see from here, you know, like it very very like practical things, and he says, you learn from this story. Shera'ui lehitrachik mimidat hakina ki hi midat pruta me'od. You learn from this story that you should avoid jealousy.
It's a bad meeting.
Because it's really bad. Says, you know how I know that? Because Rachel really didn't, it wasn't the children, it was just jealousy. That's what drove it. That's, you read it. And he said, now he's even more harsh, and he says, that's why she didn't have children until this point. Because she didn't really want them. She was just wanted it because she was jealous. That's why God didn't give her children. And even when she had children, she died while having children. Right? That is like the least forgiving read you could possibly come up with. Right? That is beyond harsh in this. Now, there's another school of thought, which is to say that it's a bit more complicated. Right? That she really is frustrated about not having children. So what's the kinah? Why does it sound like what drives her is the kinah b'Rachel, b'Leah? So several of the Mepharshim say no. What's exacerbated here is that because she didn't have children, it was hurting her relationship with Yaakov, which added insult to injury. I mean, what really drove her was at this point, right? At some point, it's not just that Leah has children, she doesn't. It's that Leah, you know, may not be the most beloved wife, but she's the only one who has children with Yaakov, and like, you know, in my lasot, Yaakov is... So several of the Mepharshim go in that direction. Right, and that's why she's so... Right, and that's really the tension here, is that in addition to not having children, what makes it worse is that she feels that this is affecting her, right, her other relationship, which obviously makes it worse, right? And, okay, and look, there are other nuances here, but let me make a point here that is sort of different than the types of point I usually make. One of my good friends, so him and his wife suffered from infertility for many years, and eventually his wife started an organization. They did eventually have children. Started an organization to help people who are going through infertility. And one of the things she pointed out, this is Block, right? Do you know, this is...
Oh, David Block.
David Block's wife.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
Gila. So Gila pointed out, she started an organization called Yesh Tikva. And one of the things she pointed out, she points out every so often, is that it's very strange that Tanakh, right, Bereishit spends so much time talking about infertility, and it's very rarely spoken about, like, from a Torah perspective, like, in shul, right? It's something that affects 1 in 8 couples. It's something that the Torah talks about extensively, but the Torah, but people just sort of, it's an uncomfortable topic, so people don't talk about it, so it becomes hush-hush, and that adds to the burden. But when you look at the psukim, it's actually beneficial to realize, especially in this pasuk, that a lot of the things that people talk about, and I know you're not thinking about this yet, but keep it in mind for years from now when, you know, God forbid it happens to you, but it will happen to either you or someone you know. That's just realistic, right? That's just the reality. The Torah tells us the struggles that the, right, Avot and Imot have because, right, so we can learn from them. And what you see here is that in addition to the localized problem of infertility, right, it affects other things. It makes people feel lesser about themselves, right? It makes them think, am I not as good of a person that I don't deserve it, right? It affects relationship with the spouse, right? All these things are real, right? And according to the Mefarshim, the Torah is telling you that this is Rachel's struggle. It's not just the struggle of infertility, that all the things that people talk about, the Avot and Imahot we're going through also. And if we don't realize that the Torah told us that, partially probably to help us to identify with the struggles, to have compassion on the people who are going through it, or to help us find identification if we're going through it, right? If we don't notice that when the Torah is yelling at us to notice it, like it's been, right, when are you going to notice it? Right? And it's, I think, therefore worth taking a moment to, especially since this is, when you think about it, a trope of Sefer Bereishit. It's not like this is like I'm making a madrasha from something that exists. It's literally every one of them about struggles, and they all deal with it in different ways and different types of struggles. If the Torah is recording all of those, it must be because there's a reason, and we might as well draw attention to that rather than, right, and take the opportunity to actually talk about it. So I figured I took that to heart, and I figured I'd actually talk about it. So. Nice. So. Cool.